Well, we've come today to the end of 2 Peter. We've been dealing with 2 Peter for a month now. Who was Peter? I think it's absolutely remarkable, some of the men that Jesus chose to be his disciples, especially those in his inner circle. That's another reason why you need to watch The Chosen. It'll help you appreciate what I just said. But some of those men, those unlikely men, they turned out to be great communicators who helped us know far more about God. Peter was one of those people. Now, all indications are that Peter was very rough around the edges. He was the opposite of a nerd like me. He was a manly man. No comments. He was a fisherman, and he had to deal with boats and nets and weather and water and crew and catch or a lack of a catch and the fish market. It makes me tired to even think about it. His name appears 17 times in the New Testament, in all four of the Gospels and in some of Paul's writings as well. And like others, he was an eyewitness. Can you imagine an eyewitness to Jesus Christ walking among us? I wish sometimes we could time travel and that we could be eyewitnesses. Do you remember when Peter walked on the water? He was in the boat and he looked out and he saw Jesus and he said, "Lord, if that's you." And I want to say, well, who else would it have been, Peter? But Peter is the only other person in history that we know about who walked on water. But of course, he sank when he began to put his eyes on the circumstances and lost faith. And I can't condemn him for that because I have a pretty sure feeling I would sink as well. Peter swore total allegiance to Jesus Christ. And yet, as you know, he denied him three times at the point of Jesus' greatest need. And Peter was also an impulsive guy. We're told that he cut off the ear of the high priest in the Garden of Gethsemane. I said he was rough around the edges. That's an example. And yet, Jesus called him a rock. And he said, "On you, Peter, I'm going to build my church." When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, Peter was the first person to whom Jesus revealed himself. Peter is the first name listed among the closest friends of Jesus Christ. And Peter established the first Christian churches in Rome of all places. And he led that church for 4 years until Nero crucified him in Rome upside down. Peter was Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. All the people around Jesus were Jewish. We are not Jewish. We are Gentiles. But Peter and some of the other disciples worked overtime to reach Gentiles to tell us about this Jesus and to bring us into the kingdom of God. We are totally and should be totally indebted to Peter as Gentiles. Roman Catholics receive him as the first pope. We receive him as a man who had remarkable achievements. I'm not sure how many people physically wrote the Bible, but Peter was definitely one of them. And he wrote us some letters, and we've been going through one of them for the last month, the second epistle of Peter. Considering his credentials that we've just reviewed, we need to take his words very seriously. In this letter, Peter said he wanted to remind us of what we already know. Who needs that? Show of hands. We need that terribly. In fact, most of us have forgotten more of what we learned about the Bible and about the Lord than we realize. In fact, if you were to take a test right now on everything that you studied or learned about the Bible, how would you do? Most of us have probably read all the way through the Bible, and maybe even several times. We've studied the Bible in classes, in seminars, in small groups, and literally thousands and thousands of sermons. In fact, if you joined this church a little over 12 years ago, and if you attended every Sunday, and if you stayed awake, you heard approximately 650 sermons right here at Covenant Fellowship. And now, let me ask you, if you go back all the years of your life, all the decades of your life, and all the sermons of your life, how many sermons have you heard in your life about the Bible and about Jesus and about God? Now, how many of them do you remember? You could probably count the fingers of one hand, or maybe just with a few fingers of one hand, those that you actually remember, because we tend to forget. We need to be reminded. Thank you, Peter. Our spiritual lives, at least I know mine does, grow stale. And sometimes, I'm about to say something that I hope doesn't offend anyone, but you know what? I think sometimes some people just go through the motions. You get up and you brush your teeth and you come to church and you go home. And you go right back into your routines and you don't think anything more about it for the rest of the week. It's just a routine. Been doing it for a long time and I'll keep doing it till I die or until I can't drive anymore. So, Peter, with his timeless message in this epistle, reminds us that there are dangers in our lives and in the church, and we've talked about all that. He said that we can be ineffective, unproductive, nearsighted, and blind unless we take the seven spiritual one-a-days that we talked about in the first sermon. I'm not going to review that. I'm just reminding you of that because you've forgotten it. Maybe you haven't, but I bet you have. And if you have, go back and review it online where the sermons are. And Peter also reminded us that the Old Testament prophets were given future insight into things that were going to happen, all of which came true hundreds of years later, remarkably. They were not just stories to titillate us. They were vital, life-changing words of encouragement and warnings and announcement. Peter also reminded that for those of us who believe, there would be scoffers who would come along and undermine our faith, laughing at us because of our... You're a wimp intellectually because you believe in all that stuff. And Peter also reminded us that we can count on something. We can count on the second coming of Jesus Christ, and it will be at God's perfect timing in His time. You remember any of this? And today, we come to the end of this epistle, the end of the letter. So I gave this sermon the title of In Closing. How do you close a letter? If you write letters anymore, how do you close the letter? Do you say, sincerely? Or, as always, that's another good one. Or my favorite one is, depending on who I'm writing, is, love ya. How did Peter close his letter? He did it with more warnings and directions. And considering his credentials, we need to take him seriously. Here are his closing thoughts. In chapter 3, verse 14, Peter said, make every effort. For what? Why? Why? Because it's in the context of his saying, because Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And because we know that and we believe that, Peter said, you need to be diligent. Diligent for what? Here's what he wrote. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. That is asking a lot. Now, when I read that, I asked myself, Harry, what do you need to do to be at peace with Jesus? I'm not at war with him. I thought I was at peace with him, but maybe I need to think about that. So what was Peter trying to tell me? And the answer came to me this way. Harry, to be at peace with Jesus, you need to have a clear conscience. Well, that made me stop and think, is there anything in my life that I would not want you to know about? Is there anything in your life that you would not want me to know about? And of course, I realized that Jesus already knows our secret sins. Do either of us need to make any effort in this regard? Have you heard this one? Someone said, live in such a way that you would not be ashamed to sell your parrot to the town gossip. Have you heard that one before? I like that. It can create stress if you start thinking about, I have secret sins. I don't want to be found out. We have enough stress in our lives. We don't need any more stress. Amen. But we do fear being found out. All of us do. Found out for who we really are. If we live according to God's word, we can be at peace. But none of us lives according to God's word perfectly. We just can't. We don't. And I think I can pretty much guarantee that all of us need to do some work on this. And so we may get away with our stuff from Sunday to Sunday without anybody ever suspecting that we have flaws. But when Jesus returns, there is going to be a courtroom, a trial, a time of judgment, when every secret that we have is going to be laid bare. Ouch. You already know that, right? I'm just reminding you, like Peter, we need to make every effort to clean up our act now before Jesus Christ comes. I don't know what you may need to do with what I'm sharing right now. I don't know what you will do with what I'm sharing right now. But my conscience is clear because Peter and I have reminded you of what you already know. So make every effort, whatever that means to you, and myself included. Next, in verse 16, Peter says something really interesting. He's talking again about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and he mentions that he and Paul are on the same page theologically about this doctrine of the second coming. But then he adds this sentence. He says, Paul's letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Oh, thank you, Peter. I don't feel so bad now. In fact, the whole Bible contains things that are sometimes hard to understand. Do you agree? Do you have trouble with that sometimes? Of course you do. That is one of the reasons that we need to keep on digging and studying and meditate on and seeking to understand the Bible more clearly as God wants to reveal it to us. If he revealed the whole thing at one time, we couldn't take it. It would just overwhelm us. But that won't happen, Harry, if you don't open it and read it. How many times have you heard me say that? It's kind of a theme song, isn't it? I was very proud of one of you this week. Called me on the telephone and said, you'd be proud of me knowing what I'm doing right now. I thought, what are they doing? They said, I'm reading the Bible. Yay! I'm not naming any names. Peter's point here is that one of the reasons that we have to be careful is that preachers and teachers of the Bible make errors because God has not given anyone a full understanding of his word. And so we're not always right. Now, I'm always right, but not everyone can be as humbled as I am. Peter is again repeating himself wisely when he says, be on guard. And this is verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on guard. The actual literal translation of that word is be constantly on guard. And it is a military term. It was used frequently to describe a soldier standing guard over something important. Have you ever seen that picture, a soldier standing guard over something very important, keeping his eyes open in case the enemy's head should pop up at any time. And Peter said, that is the way that you need to test things through the Bible. Just because a radio or television evangelist says it doesn't make it true. Just because you read it in a Christian author's book doesn't make it true. Just because I may say it, or a family member may say it, or a friend of yours may say it, doesn't make it true. Test everything by the word of God. We are all fallible, but God's word is infallible. Remember, we talked about that when we said, there is spam in your life. Remember that one? That was just a few weeks ago. We are surrounded by false teachers, and we need to put on the full armor of God. I need to be reminded of that because I honestly get distracted. Do you get distracted? I get distracted in my spiritual life. I need to be reminded. There are some Christians who will gravitate to anything that is inspirational. And it makes them feel good. As Christians, it could be a poster, it could be a book, it could be a calling card, it could be a piece of music, it could be a movie, it could be a sermon that makes them feel good, and they equate that feeling good with the Holy Spirit. It could be chosen. There's a great example of what I endorsed this morning. You could watch Chosen, and you will be inspired, and you could believe everything that comes across the screen as being holy, holy, holy. Test it by the word of God. And I'm happy to say, as far as I can see, in that particular series, which is, of course, a fantasy about facts, it's true to the word of God. I'm sure it's not perfect, but it's worth it. Watch it. Be on guard. That's the point. Now, let me read all of verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. Now remember, these are military terms. Secure position. Back in chapter 2, verse 14, Peter said, False teachers are having a field day with you if you are unstable, insecure. How are you going to deal with that? Here in chapter 3:16, he says, ignorant and unstable people can distort the scriptures. But now in closing, he says, you are in a secure position. Well, well, well. I'm proud of us. He said, you are in a secure position, so you can stand guard with confidence. That's what he's saying. Peter made it very clear. You can be confident when you know the word of God and when you stand guard against the devil and all his forces wearing the full armor of God and when you make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Great closing words. But wait, there's more. He's not done. He finally closes with these words. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Someone said that being a Christian is a lot like riding a bicycle. As long as you're moving forward, you'll be upright, but as soon as you stop, you can fall from your secure position. And that's what growing is about in Christ, moving forward, always moving forward with God. When you think about your spiritual growth, what comes to mind first? For a lot of people, what comes to mind is, I got to know more about the Bible. I got to get Bible facts. I got to read the Bible more. The Bible, Bible, Bible. The sad truth is that many of us have, as I've said already, have forgotten more about the Bible than we could ever live out. Yes, we should always keep on learning. We should always keep on growing in that way, gaining knowledge. But that is not the number one in Peter's list. He said, grow in grace and knowledge. He put grace before knowledge. Does that mean that we need to have more information about God's grace? Yes and no. Because it primarily means that we need to grow as grace givers. Grace givers. Did you know? Do you remember that you're called to give grace to other people? When you give grace to other people, you are more tolerant of other people. Even the turkeys out there in your life, you're more tolerant. When you give grace and you show mercy and compassion to other people, even if they belong to a different political party, you are doing what God wants you to do as a grace giver. When you give grace to other people, you help them see God and believe in him as you do and accept him as you do. It doesn't matter what race they are. It doesn't matter how dumb or smart they are. It doesn't matter what sex they are. It doesn't matter if they're different from you. Knowledge increases your confidence. Grace increases your tolerance. Chew on that one. Knowledge and grace, we need both of them. We need balance in our lives. And that's how the Apostle Peter signs his letter. He says, grow in grace and knowledge. It's a great way to sign. You know, Peter and James were good friends. And in my imagination, I can see Peter sharing this letter with James and saying, hey, James, would you proof this for me? And James says, sure. Then he comes back and he says, good letter, Pete. And Peter says, well, is there anything you think I should add? And James might say, well, yeah, you might just add one sentence from one of my letters. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for walking with us through this wonderful letter, these wonderful words of life, these convicting teachings, these warnings, these instructions, this encouragement. And Father, I hope that they will help us all be more like Jesus Christ. May people see him in us as we give grace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.